For Parashat Shoftim, we're going to talk about one dimension of the parish of Mini Melech. The Torah says in our parasha, Ki Savo El Haaretz, when we come to the land, we have a mitzvah. It seems to be a conditional mitzvah. The Amarto Asim Olai Melech Kechol HaGoyim Asher Svivosai. Here's this tremendous issue in all the Mepharshim about whether this is a good thing, the way the Jewish people couch it, in terms of let's imitate the Goyim, they have a Melech, we want a Goyim, that doesn't sound like a good thing. But nevertheless, the Torah establishes Som Tasim Olecha Melech. The Rambam actually counts this as the mitzvah in Taryag, to appoint a king. It doesn't mean that only because we have no choice and under these circumstances the Jews, the people are pressing for a king, then we appoint a king, but there's no mitzvah, and that's the sheet of many Rishonim, but the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah. And within the context of that mitzvah, the Torah establishes that Vayaki Shivto Al Kisei Malchuso, again the Mepharshim go to town on the word Kishivto, not Bishivto, because Savlo es Mishnah Torah Zos. And you and I would have said, without Chazal, that it means he should write Sefer Dvarim, Mishnah Torah Zos. But the word Mishnah here, as if to say a second round, is not referring to Sefer Dvarim, but Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chafal from Beis, tells us that this means a second Sefer Torah. So before we get to Rashi, let's just emphasize that as a rare phenomenon, the Torah actually explains why there's a special mitzvah incumbent upon a melech, in addition to the general mitzvah that applies to every Jew, to write a Sefer Torah, and in this case we'll see two Sefer Torah, and the Torah spells it out, L'man yilmad liras Hashem Elokecha. The purpose of the Sefer Torah is to bring the Melech to Yiras Hashem. And it says, L'shmar es kol divrei HaTorah zos. Of course, in general we could say, in order to fulfill the Torah, Ein Amar Etz Chassid, you have to learn the Torah, you have to know its laws. But in the case of the Melech, there's a particular meticulous obligation incumbent upon him to know the laws, to read the Torah constantly. And not only that, the Parsha clearly gives it an ethical element. Libilti rum levavo me'echav. The problem with power is that it goes to your head. And this is a phenomenon that repeats itself over and over again throughout history. And there's almost no exception. The king of Israel, like any other king, is subject to these forces, these pressures, and these temptations to be rum levavo miechav, to be above and place himself on a high pedestal without relating and without identifying with the sensitivities of the people. So in order to make sure that the melech doesn't have this inflated ego in which he is all about him and his power, Lebilti rum levavo me'echav, he's got to have the second Sefer Torah, which is not only accessible to him, but he's constantly learning from the Sefer Torah. And this is going to guarantee Amir Tzashem l'man yarech yomov yomim al malchus al mamlachto hu bono v'kerev Yisrael. So Rashi says, what's the deal on this Mishnah Torah Zos? Shtei Sifrei Toros, achas shimunachas bebeis gnozov. So within the hidden treasures, so to speak, of the palace, he keeps the Sefer Torah. That Sefer Torah remains constant, remains inside the Malchus. The achas shenichneses v'yotzeis imo. Whenever the king goes out, so to speak, to the public, he takes with him the second Sefer Torah. And this is exactly The conclusion of the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, the Gemara asks, what's so unique about this mitzvah, this mandate given to the Melech, to write himself a Sefer Torah? Every Jew has to write a Sefer Torah. That's one of the mitzvahs, the last of the Taryag. V'atak yismu lachem es hashira zos. And the Gemara answers that there's a special unique mitzvah incumbent upon the Melech to write two Sifrei Torah, Kedisnanya, like we learned in the Braisa, Kosev Shtei Toros, Achas Shiyotzeis V'nichneses Imo, Achas Shemunachas Lo Beveis Gnozov. So this is what it means, Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah is not, as we might have thought, a reference to Sefer Dvarim, which is often called Mishnah Torah, but rather it is a reference to the fact that the Melech needs a second Sefer Torah. And of course the obvious question, why two Sefer Torah, and how are they different one from the other? And the Gemara addresses this question, establishing that one is Yotzeis Imo and the other is stationary, Beveis Gnozov. Now, one of the famous Lubavitcher Sfarim in the contributions of the various Lubavitcher Rebbes is called Derech Pikudecha. And the underlining thesis of that book is that every mitzvah in the Torah has to convey a message. And that message has to be eternal. There are mitzvahs, many of which are time dependent, and bizman hazeh, in our time period, for example, we cannot fulfill these mitzvahs. There are many mitzvahs that incumbent upon an individual or a shevet, on a kohen, on a levi, in this case on a melech. But yet, even if I am not commanded in that mitzvah, there is a message inherent in that mitzvah for my avodas Hashem. And yadua ki haTorah hi nitzchis u'b'chol adam. Nitzchis means it always applies, even if the conditions are not there. And b'chol adam means it's universal, and every Jew has to take something out of the mitzvah. So we're going to try to study today what message, eternal message, is inherent in this mitzvah incumbent upon the Melech to write two Sifrei Torah, one Beveis Gnozov and one Nichneses V'Yotzeis Imo. How could I fulfill that mitzvah? How could that mitzvah be fulfilled today when we don't have the conditions extant for Minui Melech? And we should put this in a special context of Talmidei Chachamim. You know that there are certain mitzvahs that are incumbent in a very unique way on Talmidei Chachamim. They have a certain higher level of Kedusha. And we could say that a Sefer Torah and the study thereof is uniquely related to a Talmid Chacham. That's his mitzvah, his special mitzvah. We have to respect him because he's a walking Sefer Torah, alive. So that just like we have a mitzvah to respect a melech, we also have a mitzvah to respect a Talmud Chacham. Both will play leadership roles, and without comparing them, the Pasuk in Mishle, which the Rambam quotes at the very beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, says about the Torah, B is the Torah itself speaking in first person, Melachim Yimlochu. So the Talmud Chacham is really connected to the Torah, which is the source of Malchus. Any status that a Melech has, it's because of the Torah. And in the context of this special relationship between the Torah and the Melech who's commanded to write two Sifrei Torah, in the context of the connection between the Torah and the Talmud Chacham, who allows the Torah to penetrate into his very soul, and the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Sefer Torah that since the Talmud Chacham is the personification of Torah, his status and his Kedusha is the source of the Melech, be Melachim Yamlochu. With the Torah the Melech becomes a Melech. Therefore, if you have a choice between standing up for a Talmud Chacham or for a Melech, it's even greater to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. So the Talmud Chacham is a walking Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, in Sota, Hani, Pavli, Tibshoi, they stand up for a Sefer Torah. When it walks back, and they refuse to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham is even greater in his sanctity than a Sefer Torah. He's a live Sefer Torah. He has the control, and he has the final word, how to interpret the Torah. And Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro, every Bezdin and every Talmid Chacham in their generation will interpret the Torah. So that if this message regarding the Shnei Sifrei Torah is explicitly directed to the Melech, but implicitly it is directed to anyone who embodies the Sefer Torah and plays that leadership role because he identifies with the Sefer Torah, the Torah with him, there must be therefore some eternal message here in the way a person, and not just the Melech, has to serve Hashem, and not just with one Sefer Torah to which he's committed, but to two Sefer Torah. And this essay that I want to study with you today is based on one of the Sfarim in the world of Hasidus called Maglei Tzedek. And here's what he says about the special legacy which Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, left for his son, Rabbi Gamliel, who's going to take over the Nesius after his Ptir, after Rabbeinu goes the way of all flesh. So what is the message? What is the special mandate which Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi leaves with his son, Rabbi Gamliel, who's going to take over the Nesius very shortly? And by the way, this Gemara in Masechta Ksuvos is important not just because of the legacy of Rabbi Gamliel, of Rebbe to Rabbi Gamliel, but also for understanding exactly what a last will and testament is all about. The Gemara goes on to say that Rebbe, at the end of his life, he addressed other members of his family, especially other children besides Rabbi Gamliel, who would take over the Nesius, and the things that he told them are symbolic of what a parent should leave for his children and what should be his last will and testament. And my father, Zichron Levracha, the Dovid Misharm, has an entire essay, Ayin Shom, for anyone who's interested. Amalem Lebanei Agadol Anitzar. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi calls in his Shamasim, and he says, bring me my oldest son. And Rabbi Gamliel comes in. Umas halo say their Nesius. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi now passes on the baton to Rav Gamliel and tells him exactly how he should be noeg his nesius. Amalo, bini, nahog nesiosecha b'ramim. Ramim means you should be elevated. Ramim means you should have a power and a status of above the people. On the side, I just want to mention that in the question of the relationship between a Rebbe and his Talmidim, this becomes a very central issue. Sometimes it's even a bone of contention. We deal with what we call here in Israel chutznikim. These are young men who come from many lands on the face of the earth, and they have to be trained in a yeshiva. There are those who argue that the Rebbe has to go down to their level. He's got to go out on the tiulim with them. He's got to play ball with them. He's got to joke around with them, pat them on the back. And from that close friendship, the Talmud will be elevated. Others say, no, the exact opposite. Nahog niosecha b'ramin. Teach the Talmidim, the Bnei Chutz Laretz, that they have to have respect and awe for their Rebbe. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says it explicitly to Rav Gamliel, Zrok Mora B'Talmidim. You should instill the fear into the hearts of your students. So the Gemara goes on and asks the following question. We have a pasuk in Tehillim, which the Gemara says is a description alluding to Yehoshaphat Melch Yehuda, V'es yirei Hashem yichabed. And Yehoshaphat, when he saw a Talmud Chacham, he would get up from the Kisei HaKavod. This is the Kisei Malchus, the throne of the king. U'mechabko u'menashko. It doesn't seem like the Nesius of Yehoshaphat, which is being praised here in Tehillim, reflects the legacy that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi leaves for Rabbi Gamliel, that you're going to be taking over the Nesius. Well, a Nasi be Yisrael should be Zorok Marv Talmidim. Instead, Yehoshaphat jumps out of his seat, grabs the Talmud Chacham around, and he kisses him and he hugs him. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, ha betzina, ha befarhesia. There are two different ways or modes in which a person should be knowing Nesius and the Melech in his Malchus. Does he get out of his throne, jump up in order to kiss the Talmud Chacham? Or should he knowing Mora and Nesius Beramim? And it all depends, says the Gemara, upon context. In privacy, that's one thing. In public, that's a whole other story. In privacy, it's omeid mikiso mechabko mekash umenashko. There's no covet here. Forget about covet. Put that on the back burners. Leave that for farhesia. But betzina, go out there and give respect and love and kiss. When you go out for farhesia, then Rebbe's dictum applies, Nahog Nesiyosecha Beramim, you should be Matel Aleim Ema, Som Tasim Alecha, Melech Shetei Masam Alecha. We see that with regard to a Manik B'Yisrael, a leader in Israel, there are two different approaches, and they're both correct. It all depends in what context. One approach is Tznius. Tznius means no covet. Tznius means anava. It means a sense of humility. And that's appropriate betzina. When you go out publicly, now you are the representative of the people, you are the king, then it's zrok mara b'talmidim. It's nisiyosecha b'ramim, begadlus. Let them know that you're the king. Let them know who's boss. And establish yourself as the king. Forget about Anova and forget about Tznius. We find this in David HaMelech. This is based on an entire series of psukim in Tanakh. And the Gemara analyzes these psukim in Masechet Moed Katan. On the one hand, David HaMelech is absolutely famous for declaring in Tehillim Chaf Beis, Anochi Tolas Vlo Ish, I'm nothing. David HaMelech, Vayovo HaMelech, David Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem, he sits in the presence of the Almighty, Vayomer, Mi Anochi, who am I? But on the other hand, in Perek Yud Ches of Tehillim, Erdof Oyvai Vasigem, Emchatzem, V'lo yuchlu kum, yiplu tachas raglai. He goes out to fight the battles on behalf of Klal Yisrael and he declares, let me quench them, let me suppress them. I am the king. I'd close them until I destroy them. So when David HaMelech says, Anochi tolas v'lo ish, it's beino levein kono, he's in the presence of Almighty God. He's nothing. He's a tolas v'lo ish. But when he's yotze l'melchama, he's maksha atzmo ke'etz. He's as tough as a piece of steel. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, is a descendant of David HaMelech, as the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos. So he learns from David HaMelech. There are two different anhagos. There's anhag in private, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's anava. Tolas v'lo ish, who am I? I'm nothing. However, when I'm out there playing a role as a leader of Israel, and especially when I encounter the enemies, the adversaries of Israel, then he's makasha atzmo, he's gadlus, he's rok mora, he's nesius beramin. And if you think about it, perhaps these are the two Sifrei Torah of the King of Israel. One Sefer Torah represents Tznius and Anova, Bebeis Knozov, that's hidden from the private eye, from the public eye, in the privacy of the capital of the palace. Here, it's Levilti Rom Levavo Meechov. There's no room for Rom Levavo. Here in Sina, it's got to be Anova. But Som Tasim Olecha Melech Shetehei Maso Olecha Melech Shemochal Kvodu Ein Kvodu Mochal. That's the Melech Befarhesya. That's the Sefer Torah. That's Yotzeis Imo. And in the public, here the king has no room for Anova and for Tznius. Here he has to go out there in the public to fight the battle and to express the power of leadership and the authority of a king. It's because of Lois Mishnah Torah Zos, says Rashi, Shtei Sifrei Torah Achas V'Beis Gnozov Ach Nichtas V'Yotzeis Ivo, the one that's in B'Neis Koma Gnozov, that is symbolic of his mode of behavior when he's Bein Olavein Kono, when he expresses his shiftless of Anokhi Tolas V'Lo Ish. But there's another Sefer Torah that's Nichneses V'Yotzeis Ivo, goes in and out when he is in the public eye and he has to prava malchus, then it's tzorch lahatil e basal b'nei malchuso. That's an entirely different mode. And perhaps this is an eternal message for all of us. Because every Jew is really a leader. Every Jew, especially in our contemporary life, is looked up to by others around him. And whether he likes it or not, his behavior serves as a dugma, as an example for others, and others imitate his paradigmic method of behavior. So there, he too is like a melech. He too has to find two different modes of behavior. When he's in the privacy of his home, when he's standing in the presence of Almighty God, then it's got to be midas hanova, who am I? As the Mishnah formulates it in the fourth parak of Avos, mi'od mi'od avishval ruach. The Rambam says only with regard to Anova does the Torah advocate going to an extreme because of mi'od mi'od avishval ruach. And the Bar Tanura says on that Mishnah, even though in general we like and we advocate the middle golden mean, but here when it comes to avoiding any sort of rum levava, we go to the other extreme. But yet sometimes a Jew is called upon to play a role of unyielding leadership. No room for compromise. He represents the Torah itself. And he's got to be tough as nails. He's got to be unyielding. He's got to represent the Torah itself. That's Yotzeis V'Nichneses Imo. The Gemara says in Sota Omer of Yosef Liolam, Yelamed Adam Midas Kono, a person should imitate his creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Niach Kol Aharim V'Gvos. He gives the Torah on Har Sinai, the lowest of mountains. And therefore God says, I want you to be a Shval Ruach. And if you're a Gas Ruach, if you hold Halzach and gross and you hold yourself to be so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein Ani V'Ata Yechol V'Odebech, I can't tolerate your presence. But on the other hand, we have a klal gadol that there is such a thing as anova psula, misplaced humility. And at certain moments in time, a person has to be omed bekach. He has to be when it's kavod shemayim. He has to be a balgaiva, so to speak. He has to be kone kinas Hashem. The pasuk says at the end of Tanakh, "Vayigbal libo b'darkei Hashem." Vayigbal libo. How could it be vayigbal libo? A person has to be a shval ruach, but the answer is he's going out there on behalf of Klal Yisrael to defend the Torah. And here, any anova would be misplaced anova. So this is the paradox. What we call, if you don't mind my quoting Hegelian philosophy, the dialectic of, on the one hand, the thesis, on the other hand, the antithesis, two positions, two relationships, two hanagas that seem to be mutually exclusive, and yet they have to overlap in one individual. We have to be like the two Sfarim of the Melech. And when it comes to our own private life, then there's no room for gaiva. But when it comes to the public life, and a person says, you know what, I'm going to be Nechbel HaKelim, I'm not going to fight for my rights, I'll just compromise, let the Torah... No, that's a Chet Gadol. That's already a Nova Psula. Don't claim, well, you know what, I'm not worthy. You were put in that situation, and you got to fight for it. And I want to take a few minutes, if you don't mind, to speak a little bit about my father, Zichrono Livracha. My father as an individual was very humble, and I can tell you many stories about that. But there were certain occasions in his life where he fought like a lion. And I'm just going to mention one of them. There was an issue amongst the Rabbanim in America. I'm going back 50 years, probably more than that. They were the American Rabbanim and then the European Rabbanim. The European Rabbanim were Yiddish speakers. They very much felt that we have to separate ourselves from the Goyim, and especially from other movements in Judaism like conservative reform. We have to marchek ourselves, distance ourselves, herchek rav gadol, because we were placed in America and it's the Treifa Medina. We have to be very careful not to rub shoulders with those other movements. And the American Rabbanim, those who were Yirei Shamayim and were Orthodox, nevertheless they felt we have to join forces with the conservative and reform rabbis to present a united front when it came to issues of Jewish life in America, when it came to representing the Jewish people in front of the government, and issues of that sort. Where did it come to the fore? In an organization, if you're familiar with it, called the New York Board of Rabbis. The New York Board of Rabbis was a partnership of rabbis from all different walks of life and all different movements of Judaism. And the European rabbis, and the head leader at that time was Rabbi Mendel Zaksel, Lashav Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law, said, we have to be Poresh. No Orthodox rabbi should join with the New York Board of Rabbis. And the American Rabbanim, and especially my father, again, keep in mind, my father was born in Litta, but he came to America at a very young age. He was 12 years old. He came before his bar mitzvah. And he felt that when it comes to presenting a position for the Jewish nation that we could all benefit from, funds for Jewish education, etc., etc., and many different issues, the New York Board of Rabbis was the ultimate representation of the rabbis of the city of New York, and it's critical that we take a part in the role. But where did my father fought like a lion? He and his buddies joined the New York Board of Rabbis, and within a matter of time, not a long period of time, an issue came up on the New York Board of Rabbis that touched on the question of who would be a candidate for membership in the New York Board of Rabbis. What are our standards? And the question was about rabbis, I can't call them rabbanim, who would officiate at a mixed marriage. And the issue came up as a vote in the New York Board of Rabbis. Elu Omrim, let's allow these rabbis to be part of the New York Board of Rabbis. Ve'ka'elu Omrim, and the others said, no, this is crossing all red lines. And we cannot accept such a rabbi because he's encouraging intermarriage. And he's going to officiate together with the priest and the church in this so-called marriage ceremony. That's not for us. He cannot serve as a rabbi and be recognized in the New York Board of Rabbis. And this issue, which came to a vote in the New York Board of Rabbis, would have a tremendous impact at that time. Today it's all different. Forget it. I mean, intermarriage is beyond belief today. But at those days, 50, 60 years ago, it wasn't so posh that you could be a rabbi and officiate at an intermarriage. And nobody knew what would be the outcome of the vote. They were swaying back and forth, and each rabbi was talking to another rabbi. And finally, my father asked for the podium, and he got up and he fought like a lion, unyielding. And he said, what a tragedy it would be for the people of Israel. We are destroying ourselves. This is self-destructive. And in 15 minutes, he had completely lifted and aroused the rabbis at the New York Board of Rabbis, and they won the vote by a pretty serious majority. I think it was 3-1 to exclude any rabbi that performs an intermarriage. And this goes on and on. There are so many issues in which it's important for us to take a stand. And the greats of Israel have done so throughout Jewish history. That's the Sefer Torah that's Nichnas V'Yotzeis Imo. Now, I heard in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe an answer to the famous question. I don't know if any of you wear vests anymore. They're out, sort of out of style. But when I was a kid, a vest was considered like a chashivas. And a vest has two pockets, one on the right and one on the left. So somebody, I don't know which smart aleck, asked the Kotzke Rebbe, why does a vest have to have two pockets? So this is what he responded. He said, in one pocket I put the pasuk Avraham Avinu says, Anochi ofer v'efer. And in the other pocket, I put the pasuk v'tchasrei mat melukim. A human being, a Jew, has to be an integration, and it's a very difficult dialectic, a thesis and an antithesis between Anochi ofer v'efer, I'm garnished, and on the other hand, I'm a little bit lower than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a hamin in the Gemara that kedushaschem ki kedushasi, that we have the same level of kedusha. Every person has to have two vests, has to have two pockets in his vest. He has to have two Sifrei Torah. One is Munachas V'Beis Gnozov, and the other is Yotzeis Imo. One is the ultimate anivus and shiflus of Anochi Ofer V'Efer, and the other is the gadlus and the gaiva of Gova Libi B'Darki Hashem B'Shvili Nivra Olam V'Tchasrei Mat Melukim. The challenge is to know when to use this and when to use that. Do you put your right hand into the right pocket, your left hand into the left pocket? When do you say, as David HaMelech says it, Ki Pishi Ani, I'm a Poshea, I'm full of sin, Chatosi Kenegdi Tamid, and who am I? I'm Tolas V'Loish. And when do I declare, I am great? I am a Slabodka Yeshiva man. And the basic difference is between man in front of God and man when he represents the people of Israel, the Torah Yisrael, in the public eye. Let's take a look at a Zohar. If any of you have page 2, you'll see it on the top of the left column, the third column on page 2. The Zohar says that Bereishis Zuat Torah. We find in Mishle that the Torah is called Reishis. And the Zohar says that there are two mitzvahs in the Torah. Obviously, there's 613. But there are two major principles in the Torah. One is V'gisa bo yom v'layla. And the other is that a melech has to have an additional Sefer Torah. V'hoysa imo v'karabo kol yom. Very strange. The Zohar begins with V'gisa bo yom v'layla. That is a mitzvah that's incumbent upon every Jew to be constantly connected to the Torah. The other mitzvah, which he singles out in the Zohar, is the mitzvah of Kosav Lo Es Mishnah Torah Zos. So how can we say that the Torah really encompasses two mitzvahs? That's a very strange statement. And how can we jump from V'gisa Bo Yom V'Layla to the mitzvah incumbent upon a king to have a second Sefer Torah? And perhaps the answer lies in understanding of what Torah is all about and what V'gisa bo yom v'layla. And here on page 3 we're going to touch upon a very fundamental issue, and that is Chochmas HaTorah, which is B'moach, which is in the mind, which is an intellectual pursuit for knowledge, as opposed to the lave of Torah, to allowing the Torah to filter down to the heart, from the brain down to the heart, and have an impact and penetrate the heart. In order to clarify this, we're going to study a piece of the Sefer HaTanya. What happens, ask the Baal HaTanya in Perek Hei, probably the most famous Perek in all the Tanya, that in Lamed Beis. What is a person supposed to be doing and accomplishing when he studies Torah? Says the Baal HaTanya, he has to be makif the Torah in his seichel. The Torah itself becomes enveloped in his seichel. And the seichel now is makif the entire Torah. And what happens as a result, says the Baal HaTanya, when the seichel is tofes any muskal, any idea that it grasps, and it's makif beseit, it surrounds it, then that concept becomes part of the knower, part of the thinker, part of the maskil himself. And if we apply this to Torah, then what it means is that, one second, are you able to hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't know, that's one technicality I don't know how to overcome. I have it on silent, but when people call me, somehow it stops the system. But as long as you tell me you could hear me, I want to say the following. The Baal HaTanya says that when you're tofes a Gemara, when you have in your mind Migu, that if he says this, and he instead of saying parati, he could have said lo 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 lavisi, and he's believed any halacha, any principle, any Gemara, and you understand it well, your seichel is tofes umasig umakif es haTorah atzma, and you become one with the Torah. This is what David HaMelech means when he says v'toraschah besoch me'ai, my Torah is in my belly. Just like a person eats physical food, and when he digests it, it becomes part of his very makeup, and it's broken down into blood, which supplies the entire body and all the limbs thereof of oxygen. So too the Torah becomes part of me when I study it, says the Baal HaTanya, and it now gives me chiyus, it gives me spiritual life, it's the ilan vital for my entire body. Ulefi shebiyidias haTorah, haTorah melubeshes b'nefesh ha'odah v'sichlo mukefes b'tocham, l'chein nikreis haTorah b'shem lechem u'mazon ha'nefesh, k'mo shelechem ha'gashmi zonis ha'guf, physical foodstuff will supply the entire body with a life force, so too Yediyas haTorah v'hasagosa v'nefesh ha'odom ad shenitfeses b'sichlo u'misachedes imo v'hoyu l'achadu. This is an unbelievable statement. When my seichel, my intellect grasps a piece of Torah, then is his achdus. There's an absolute unification or integration between the idea of the Torah, the concept of the Torah, and my nefesh, which is the nefesh hamaskelis. And then the Torah becomes mazon lenefesh. The Torah becomes the life source for the entire spiritual makeup of the soul of man. And he calls it a yichud nifla shein kibosa. This unity between the Torah and man who's thinking of the Torah is an incredible, incredible oneness. And it's an absolute unity. And so, oh, now I can see you a little better. And so, we can begin to appreciate what it means to have a Sefer Torah that's munachas bebeis gnozov. In the language of the Zohar, that Torah of beis gnozov is called v'gisa bo yom v'layla. What is v'gisa bo? V'gisa means yigia, it means giving myself and dedicating myself in every ounce of energy to be masig the Torah. to have my seichel be makif the Torah, to use the terminology of the Alter Rebbe. And that's called Beis Knozov. That is one of the two mitzvos that is singled out here in the Zohar, although the Zohar doesn't use the terminology Sefer Torah Munach Beis Knozov. It uses instead substitutes for Yigisa Bo Yom HaValayla, but the purpose of Yigisa Bo Yom HaValayla is that through Yigisa Sator Nasoga Sator Besichlo, the Torah becomes part of him. And a person in his home is Beis Knozov. That's where his Machshava, so that's where his Hasoga, so that's where his Seichel is, and that's where, in the privacy of his closed room, his palace, he becomes one with HaKadosh Baruch. That's the Sefer Torah Beis Knozov, and that's the ultimate goal of Igisa Bo Yom HaValayla. Now let's take a look at the phrase Beis Knozov. At what point can a person say, can he declare that, yes, I have gotten to this level in which the Torah is really part of me? That I penetrated the Torah to such an extent that I identify with the Torah and I am one with the Torah. It's Beis Knozov. And the answer is the lev, the heart of a person. The pasuk says, Kasvei maluach libecha. You're not Yotzei Zayin by inscribing the Torah on a parchment and reading the Torah from the parchment. It's Kasvei maluach libecha. You have to inscribe the Torah, engrave it on your heart. And that's when you know that is a part of you. Reb Chaim Volozhin, his introduction to Nefesh HaChaim, describes his Rebbe. And he asks the question, why is it that the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, knew Torah backwards and forwards? Big deal. So what? And the answer is because the Gaon reached the level of Kasvei Maluach Libecha. If you write the Torah in front of your eyes, you can read it in both directions. If I ask you to recite Ashrei, everyone will be able to recite Ashrei Balpeh. But try to recite Ashrei backwards. No one's going to be able to do it unless they see every word of Ashrei in front of the apple of their eye. That's called Kasvei Maluach Libecha. The ultimate goal of studying the Torah is to reach the level in which Kasvei Maluach Libecha, the Torah, has penetrated from the mind and the intellect down to the heart. It has become part of a person. And the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkah Tshuva, would quote a medrash of Chazal in Dvarim Rabbah, Hasayif HaSefer Yordu Kruchim Min HaShamayim Omer Lehem Im Tasu Makosu B'Sefer Zeh Atam Nitzolim M'Sefer HaZeh. If you can take the Sefer and you can make it part of you, if you can allow it to penetrate into your very soul, into your very heart, into your very psyche and essence, then you will be spared from the sayif. Because then, it's atem advekim chayim kulchem ayom. You're connected to the source of life. Eitz chayim hilach zikimba. The Torah itself is like a branch. Eitz chayim, when a person is never drowning, if he could grab onto the Eitz chayim, it could save him. The Torah gives you life. And that's the ultimate goal of Avodas Hashem, that a person should succeed in his Chochmas HaMoach to the extent in which he can allow that Chochmas HaMoach to penetrate and roll down to his heart and become part of his lev. And what is the purpose of the Eitz Hara? What is his goal? What is his agenda? His goal is alienation. His goal is nituk. Is pirud. He wants to separate the mind from the heart. He wants to create a wedge between the intellect and the very essence of a person's being. He wants to make sure that the Torah remains only an intellectual exercise. Knowledge, and that's it. He doesn't want the Torah to be mashpia, to influence his entire being and all the evarim of his body. And the answer to the Eitzahara Barasi, Eitzahara, Barasi, Torah, Tavlin, is the Amelus, the Yigia B'Torah. the goal of which is to be masik Torah v'seichel shebemach, to the point in which the Torah is now part of me, it's mashpia on my entire being. And now the seichel shebemach controls the ratzon shebelev, and a Jew is totally dedicated to tayag mitzvahs. And the sayif has no power over man. Atem nitzolim and asayif hazeh, says the Medrash. Why? Because you have the Sefer, you're dedicated to the Sefer, and you allow the knowledge of the Sefer to be kasmei maluach libecha, to penetrate all the way down to your lev. Ki al yidei sheyasig es or haTorah b'seichel shebemoach, yuchal hamoach lahoyer es or haTorah gam b'libo, ushneam b'yachad hamoach v'alev yairu es ramacha ivorim v'shasa gidim b'or haTorah. That is the answer to the Yetzer Hara. And if that be the case, we begin to appreciate exactly why we have to have these two Sifrei Torah. One Sefer Torah, B'Beis Gnozov, as we said before, the B'Beis Gnozov represents that connective force between the Moach and the Lev. And once he achieves that level of Yigisa B'Yom of Alayla through his Yigia, now he's ready for the second mitzvah of the series of two mitzvahs that are enumerated in the Zohar, and that's the mitzvah of writing a second Sefer Torah that's Yotzeis V'Nechneses Imo, the second Sefer Torah. That second Sefer Torah that's going to allow him to apply the Torah that he learns V'Beis Gnozov to every aspect and every dimension of his life. And why? Because he reaches the level V'Beis Gnozov of Kasvei Maluach Libecha. And now he's ready for the ultimate goal of Torah. And that is to be like the Melech and take the Sefer Torah, not leaving it behind, locked up in the Beis Gnozov, but taking it from his mind, his heart, his essence, and bringing it out to the world at large, to publicize the Torah, to fight the battles of the Torah, to defend the Torah, and most important, to fulfill the Torah to its maximum. And in the balance of our discussion, we don't have too much time, I'll just spend 5 minutes on the word melech. Melech, the Chazal tell us, is a notrikun. From moach, lev, and kaved, and the liver. What is kaved? The liver. I understand what's mem of melech and what's the lamed of melech, of lev. The mind and the emotions, the psyche, the heart. But the melech is supposed to represent the roshei evarim of moach and lev. Where does the kaved come to play over here? The goal and the function of the liver is to clean the dam of its impurities. Together with the kidneys, the liver does a tremendous job. But because there's so much dam in the liver, the dam, which represents the nefesh habahamis of a person, the greatest challenge of Torah is to take the mem of melech, moach, the lev of melech, of lev, the moach and the lev, and impact upon the kaved, the chaf of the melech. The moach will allow him to look at every situation from every perspective like a prism, and to be shokel, to weigh on a scale, biozne ha-mishpat, should I embark upon this effort? Should I not? Is it worth it? Is it good? Is it bad? And that's the moach. The moach makes the right decisions, and that's going to be mashpia on the ratzon ha-adam, the will of the lev. But now comes the main challenge. Has he reached the level of Beis Gnozov, which means the connection between the moach and the lev, and he's ready for Yotzeis Imo, for the kaved, for the materialism of life, to face the physicality of Adam who are nefesh, the nefesh Bahamas, and to elevate the nefesh Bahamas as if the Moach and the Lev are the sovereign rulers that could subjugate the Kaved, control it, discipline it, and channel it towards the Ratzon, which is now the Ratzon of Hashem, because of the success of the Beis Knozov. So there are two Sifrei Torah. And the question is, will one Sefer Torah succeed in impacting on the second Sefer Torah? Will the Sefer Torah of Munachas Bebeis Gnotav, which is the Amelus and the Igiya of Igisa Boyoma Valaila, the Torah that enters into his mind and penetrates into his heart, the Melech, the Mem, and the Lama, that's Bebeis Gnotav. And now, the question is, what about the Kaved? What about the Sefer Torah Shenichneses V'yotzeis Imo? That means to take all your machshavos and all your ritzonos, everything, mikoach ha'poal, and to face the challenges of life and implement them on every encounter that you have, every challenging nisayon with physicality. And the Torah addresses every single dimension of man, whether he's here, whether he's there, in every room, in every chamber, in every experience, in every interchange, in every encounter. That's the greatness of Torah. And that's the kaved. And the challenge is, can we be like a melech to take the mem of moach and the lamed of lev and take the Torah that was bebeis knozov and successfully through amelus b'torah, through v'gisa bo yom of alayla, now face the challenges of the kaved and elevate all of physicality and all of materiality to the ultimate level of spirituality to impact upon the world and take the Shem Hashem and bring glory to the name of God and be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in the public eye, if we can succeed in that third level of the Sefer Torah HaNichneses V'yotzeis Imo.
So, I don't know if that's where we are. And Michal chastised him for doing that. He says, no, it's covered Hashem to do, to act like this publicly, but then he was really king. So how can he actually say that?
So the answer is, I believe, that even in private, a person has to be gavolibo, and even in public, a person has to somehow be modest and enough. There's no absolute distinction between the privacy of my room and the public eye. The standards and the judgment has to be made by the Moach of Torah when to implement which midah. Surely, there's no question that in most cases when I'm alone, I'm in a state of anochi of vefer. But sometimes, even when I'm alone, I can't let the Yetzahara push me down to such a level of shiflus that I completely negate all my accomplishments. So even in the privacy of my room, I have to recognize my accomplishments. In public, it depends. Are you defending the Torah? Well, if it means to defend the Torah by putting your reputation out on the line, by saying this is it, and put your fist down and bang on the table, and this is the way of Torah, and I have the ability to say so. If I'm the Melech B'Yisrael and I will not tolerate certain misbehaviors and misdeeds, then it's got to be Gav Alibo from Gavus HaLev. But if in the presence of the public, I have to give honor to the Torah in such a way that I honor a Talmud Chacham. For example, if Yehoshaphat, even in the public eye, would honor a Talmud Chacham and manifest anova, that would be acceptable, even in the public eye. If David HaMelech is out there l'kvod shamayim and he has the right kavanos, then the halach is like David HaMelech and not like Michal. And the proof of the pudding is from the mitzvahs of Bikurim, the mitzvahs of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and many, many other mitzvahs in which the Mishnayos tell us and advocate that even the Gedolei Yisrael, and Dafka the Gedolei Yisrael, should be in the front of the lines. They are dancing, they are singing, frenzied joy which knows no bounds, even in the public eye, and perhaps Dafka in the public eye. And that means that we have to show a level of anova, even in the public eye. Just to give the overview, meaning the last line in the paragraph here, the bottom line, as we say, that in the schus of it, amelis b'torah, yigiyas b'torah, havanas ha-torah, and being tofes the Torah, being makifit b'sichlo, and reaching the level of moach and lev, and that's the Torah of Beis Gnozov, he will be zoche to the third level of the name Melech, and that is to the Kaved. He'll be able to be Shomer Torah, he'll be protected from Azikim, he'll have the Ora Torah, and he's ready for the second mitzvah of the Sefer Torah, that's Nechneses V'yotzis Imo. That mitzvah is connected to the Os Chaf in the name Melech. The Beis Gnozov of Sefer Torah, that's connected the first two letters, the Moach and the Lev. Now he has the Torah, he has the light of Torah, the supernal, eternal light of the Torah, which is going to illuminate his entire body, his whole physicality, including the Kaved. And the Mishnah says in Avos, Bishas Petirasa Shel Adam, when a person leaves this world, Ein Malavin Lo Li Adam Lo Kesef, Velo Zov, Lavonim Tovos, Velo Margolios, Ela Toru Maisim Tovim Bilvad Shenemar. And here the Mishnah quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Bishalechecha Tancha Oscha, Bishalbucha Tishmar Alea, Alecha, Vakitzoses, He's Tesicha Secha. And what it means is that in every aspect of life, he applies the Torah that he learned, and the Torah guides him, and the Torah protects him. And if you take a look at Rashi, in the Gemara Sanhedrin, he changes the Seder HaDvarim. There are two Toros. It says in the Gemara that one, the first one is Yotzeis V'Nichneses Imo, the second one is Munachas Lo Beis Kno. But Rashi, in his commentary here on the Torah, Parshas Shoftim, he says, Mishnah Torah Shtei Sifrei Torah, Achas Shimuneches V'Beis Knozov, V'Achas Shenichneses V'Yotzeis Imo. Rashi changes the sequence. Why? Rashi interprets in a deliberate way, is the decision of Rashi, it's not Mabakach, that in the Seder HaDvarim, we start with Beis Gnozov. You can't start with Yotzeis Imo. You have to begin the process with Amelus and Yigiyah B'Torah until you get to the point where you've achieved the Hasogas HaTorah, the Beis Gnozov, the Moach and the Lev. Then, as a result of Moach and Lev, engendered by Amelus B'Torah, now the Torah is going to join him, is going to escort him, B'Lucho, is going to protect him, and he can go out in Yotzeis V'Nichneses Imo. The Torah is there with him as he goes out, but the sequence in the terms of the Avod is critical. And you might ask me, why wasn't the Gemara Medayik and be more careful to start with the Sefer Torah of Beis Gnozov? And if you look in Tosus and Kedushim Emchesam and Beis, he says that the Gemara very often is not Choshesh to interpret Lefi Aseder. Rashi is always, that's his job, that's his responsibility, his holy responsibility in his commentary on the Torah, to set up the Seder in a very logical way. And that is Achas Shimunachas V'Beis Knovtzov, and then, second in sequence, Achas Shenichneses V'Yotzeis Imo. If you go back to the Zohar that we studied earlier, you'll see the same sequence. It's V'Gisa Boyom V'Laila, and then the Sefer Torah of V'Hoysa Imo, Shaholech Imo B'Chol Mokom. That's the language of the Zohar. And that's the sequence that Rashi follows. It's only after you place the Torah, the Ora Torah, the Beis Gnozov, and the Moach, and the Lev, then you can be Zochet to the Torah of Nechneses Imo, and that Torah will protect you against all evil. And to appreciate the unbelievable power of Torah, when we talk about Tefillah, and we talk about the perhaps the most important motif of prayer is Haganah, is Shmira, is to protect us. And the Gemara Dashens in Sanhedrin, the Poskim Mishlei, Nefesh Amal Amel Botlo Omlolo Ki Ekof Oleh Olav Piyu. Who am Amel B'Makom Zev V'Toras Amel Eslo B'Makom Acher? So Rashi says Nefesh Amel Omlolo Mipnei Amel B'Torah Torah Amel Eslo Shemachazeres Olav Umevakeshes Meiskona Limsar Lo. The Torah, so to speak, follows a person, almost runs after the person. The person implemented amelus, and now the Torah, quid pro quo, does something on behalf of the man to give him an insight into the tamei Torah and to be able to really appreciate the Torah and understand it on its deepest level. So through the amelus and the dedication to Torah, with great effort and great yigia, a person is zocha that the Torah works overtime on his behalf, and it might be the makom acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the Torah and for Yisrael who are osek b'Torah. And a person has to realize that he's been placed here in order to be Omel and Yogea B'Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Chachma and the Bina and the Das to understand, to be Maskil the Torah. And when a person is Zoche, to be Masik HaSogos in Torah, the Torah enters into his entire being, from the Moach down to the Lev, and up and down, Torascha B'Soch Me'ai. It's in my very Kishkis. It enters into my very bloodstream. It supplies oxygen in a spiritual sense for my entire being. That's the impact. That's the result of Amelus and Yigiyah B'Torah. And now I'm capable of understanding the Torah, because the Torah is Omel on my behalf to open up new vistas and new windows of opportunity to understand the Torah. And the Torah has a great desire to enter in and set up its domicile, its place of living in the Beis Kedoshim of Shalada B'Mocho B'Libo. And the ultimate goal of the Torah is Limsar Lo Tamei Torah V'Sidreha. The greatness of the Koach of Torah, for someone who's Omel in the Torah, is that when the Yetzer Hara comes to interrupt a person, to undermine his learning, with all sorts of taivas and all sorts of alluring pleasures, then a person has to remember this drush of Chazal, that Nefesh Omel Omlo Lo. If he's Omel B'Torah, in one place the Torah will be Omel on his behalf in another place. If a person is Omel B'Torah, and he's Mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God should fulfill all his requests and all his petitions, that he shouldn't be lacking in any way. And the reason for it is L'shem Shemayim, I'm mispal because I want to serve Hashem. B'esek ha-tor mitoch archovas hadas. That's a tremendously powerful tefillah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants him that Toroso omeles lo b'mokom acher. The Torah will protect him, quid per quo. And that's what Rava says in the Gemara in Moed Katan, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, Chochmos b'chutz Torona, Berachovas titen kolam arava kol osik b'torah mi vifnim torasa machrezes olav mi bachutz. A person who's osik b'torah b'igiyo b'omel, and he's zocha to allow the orat Torah to penetrate into his very being, into his base kinozov, which is the moach and the lave, then the Torah is machrezes olav mi bachutz. The Torah pronounces on the outside b'salecha chotancha osach. That wherever he is, he's walking and he's going with the Torah with him. The Torah is escorting him, and it's holding on to a loudspeaker and declaring that no one will be mazik this person, because this person was Omel v'yogea b'Torah v'beis kenozov. And finally, the Gemara says in Brachas Tafei Kol Osek b'Torah Yisurim v'Delim Hemenu. The Torah protects a person such that he shouldn't suffer any nezek, any tzara. And not only is he protected from all davar ra, But beyond that, the Torah prays on his behalf that he should be zochet to all the brachos, b'shefa rav, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, oref yomim v'yaminah, b'smola osher v'kavod ken yiratzon. Amen.